you're tuned in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. And I'm so glad that we are here with you today. Thank you for hanging on with me. You guys are rocking it out. I appreciate you so much. Well, listen, it is time now for us to get right started because we're running a little bit behind, but we got to get going. We had some technical difficulties with my headset, so you wouldn't have been able to hear me, but now you can. All right, you guys, for the weather, this is the day that the Lord has made, so let's talk about it. Today's weather is in D.C. We have 79 degrees today. Right now, it's 86 degrees. Right now, we're going all the way up to 90 degrees. We got expected thunder showers coming all evening long. All week long, it's going to be sunny, though, so just be prepared for that. Jacksonville, Florida, you are partly cloudy, 83 degrees. Right now, your high is going to be 89, and you're expected thunderstorms as well. London, you're 71 degrees. Right now, you're waking up to 66 degrees. Let's see, L.A., you're 68 degrees. You're 68 degrees, and your high is going to be 80 degrees. Augusta, Georgia, you're 89 degrees and sunny. Your high is going to be 94 degrees, partly sunny. And we got Charlotte, North Carolina, 82 degrees, partly cloudy. And you are going to go all the way up to 92 degrees, partly cloudy all day. All right, you guys, we got to take a short break with our sponsor, and we'll be right back with you, okay? Right back.
Have you ever prayed desperate prayers to God but have yet to hear an answer? Maybe you're about ready to give up. Maybe your friends or family are telling you to let it drop. Bestseller author John Eckhart has a different approach. Get more desperate. In his book, Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times, Eckhart invites you to a prayer life that sees results. He uses the story of Hannah as a model and walks you through the five key points of her prayer that resulted in breakthrough. Through biblical teaching and practical application, you can persevere in prayer no matter where you are in life, how bad things may look, or what situation you find yourself in. Check out Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold.
Well, okay, so we already know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. So then if I did not mention your state, your country, your continent, hey, don't worry about it. Guess what? God is still in control, and he has the final say. So, you know what? This is the day that the Lord has made, and no matter what's going on, he is still in control. Still in control. And so, you know, I just want you guys to know that if he's in control, then that means that he's got everything going on right now. And so, you know, what can you do about it? He's doing everything great for you, and you just have to know that he's ruling and reigning. And so with that being said, I just want you guys to know that I love you and he loves you too, okay? So now, Ministerial Minute. We're going right into that. John Eckhart's book is our sponsor for that, and so we got to go right into that. So I wanted to say last week was so rough, you guys, for me last week. I mean, it was really rough, and I was really trying hard to really stay just really in the flow of things and stay in the now, and I, you know, all the things that I minister to people and what I believe God to do and for. It was very, very, very challenging. And so I say all that to say that I think coming into your identity, not what you do, but coming into your identity is more layers to this. And I know I talked a little bit about that last week. You know, God will allow you to go and get counsel from so many different people to get where you need to be. And some things are where you have to separate the meat from the bone, and you got to just throw the bones away. And a lot of us, because of situations that we've come out of, if it's drug abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, or whatever, we could be traumatized, and we want acceptance and to be validated. And a lot of times, if we seek counsel from certain people, maybe it's a pastor or a minister, or maybe it's the prayer warrior or the prophetess or the deacon or whatever, the prophet or whatever. You know, God will utilize, do a situation where they can like encourage you and pardon to you and correct you and all of these wonderful things, that you need to get your strength up and to get where you need to go and to be who you need to be. But a lot of times we tend to take on identities or different opinions or their thought process or their traditions. You know, maybe it's a religious tradition or whatever like that. And so that is not really coming into our identity, even though we are changed. We have been changed. We're not doing the things that we used to do. We're not saying the things that we used to say, but now we've taken on not only our spiritual walk, but we've also taken on a human nature. And a lot of times we don't realize that until God separates us from that person or that situation. And so we tend then to be lost, and then we'll go on maybe to something else and somebody else's ways and somebody else's thoughts and somebody else's theology or their doctrine or whatever. What I want to tell you is the best thing to do is that know that nothing is in vain. Anything that God has allowed you to go through and connect with is not in vain. What you have to do is take time for you and your relationship with God. You cannot solely depend on any human being for anything outside of what you just can't. You can't depend on them to walk your journey or to show you the way, because your steps are ordered by God. The prayers of the righteous are availed much by God. You know, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God, and he knows all the thoughts and plans that he has for you, things from the beginning to the end and all of that. So, you know, humans, us, we only know things in part. So when you connect with someone, you have to look at yourself and realize that if you got flaws, then of course they got flaws too. I know they praying good, they worshiping good, they anointed, and they make you feel good and maybe shout and maybe holler and maybe, you know, help you get in the presence of God. But you have to understand that God can use anybody, just like he uses you through your faults and your shortcomings. He's using them the same way. So instead of taking on someone else's identity, ask God, who are you? You know, get to know who he is so you can know who you are. I always say that because he created us in his image. So you definitely want to start with knowing who he is first, because you don't want to go by thinking you know who you are until you get to know who he is. So that's the first thing. Get to know who he is first, and then he'll start revealing to you how creative you are. He brought, you know, colorful, creative, abstract ability to you. He's got different thoughts, patterns and dreams, and he knows how many hairs is on your head. You are individually, uniquely you. So you have to get to know you. And so when I say that, when he has you as a vessel fit for the master's use to spread the gospel, there's a uniqueness about you that's going to reach a multitude. I mean, I know we think that our church is our mega church is everybody in the whole world. It's not. I know we think our little community is everybody in the whole world, but it's not. It is so many different people out here, and by the multitude, there's billions and billions and billions of people in the world, and you're just you. So even if you reach 100,000, 200,000, a million people, there's still so many people that will not know your name. But that's okay. I say that to say that you have a sound, and your sound is very unique. And see, the enemy will try to shut you up by religion, tradition, somebody's opinion, somebody's thoughts, even the ones that have helped you, groomed you, trained you, you know, in ministry or in worship or whatever it is, to be a leader, to be a pastor, whatever it is, your fivefold ministry, whatever it is. But you have to know your voice, and you have to stand there in confidence, because God has given you that voice, that sound that's going to reach a certain type of people. May it be all universal, whatever, cultures, multicultural, whatever. It's something that you have, that anointing, that sound, that's going to be able to reach this multitude of people, that's going to help them realize how great God is, and lead them to him so they can be saved and delivered and healed. And it's by the sound of your testimony, the voice of you. So nobody can teach you how to sound like you but God. So whenever somebody doesn't agree with a message that God led you to put out, maybe it's you went to a territory that they wouldn't go to and they would advise you not to. Maybe it's an outfit that you wear. Maybe it's a language that you're speaking. Whatever it is, just know that God is leading you, And just don't allow the adversary to use anybody or any circumstance to shut you up. Stand strong and steadfast and unmovable in your true sound and your identity. And just seek God just viciously. I'm talking about like a fast every day. Seek him in his word. Seek him in prayer so you can know, like the old folks used to say, know that you know that you know that you know that you're doing what he's called you to do and that you are doing what is pleasing unto him. And let the fruit of his spirit manifest through your actions and deeds and just and everything that you touch may it prosper. All right, I just want to encourage you about that. Don't let the devil win. Don't let him shut you up. And if you did anything yesterday, repent, get up, and just go back at it again. Nobody was perfect in the Bible, not one soul, and God still used them to make a difference. Guess what? And it's still making a difference to this day because we're reading about it right now in this generation, in this time, and it's changing our lives. And we have never met Paul or David or any of them, John, none of them, Elijah, we have never met them, but guess what? Their testimonies about how good God has done is still reaching us today. So guess what? Leave your lineage by being obedient to God, okay? All right, that was Ministerial Moment, and guess what? We got some chit-chat conversation with Betty Wright. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that she's here. Then comedian Gina G is going to be joining us in the conversation. And she's going to also later on give us the trending tea. And what she say? And then Elizabeth Brooks got some serious fitness information tips just for us today. All right, we're going to be right back after this commercial break with Betty Wright's legendary songwriter, producer, everything. She's just doing it all. She's ministering. She's still touring. She's just a legend, and we love her here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. We'll be right back after these messages.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I am super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and he ministered to me, he put that in my spirit, health and soul. And he said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what he wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
Hi, I'm Emmanuel, and you are listening to the best internet talk show in the world, Mom, Dr. Gina R. Prince. And you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Hey, thanks, Doug. All right, Betty Wright. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. How are you?
I'm blessed. And yourself?
I'm blessed. It's been a rough morning trying to get this show started, so we must have something real good to share with the people today because I'm telling you, the devil is busy this morning.
I woke up some good people over in L.A. this morning. I said, trying to reach the Dr. Gina show. He said, this is not the number.
Man, I'm so sorry. Well, listen, I'm so glad that you're here. We have Gina G is joining us. Hi, comedian Gina G, my co-host and CFO.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. All right, well, Betty Wright is on here for us to have girl chat because last time we were on, she was so amazing that it was like, okay, I didn't even want to get her off the show because it was so good. So we had a lot of people that were so glad that you had spoken a lot of that truth, and they still are chewing on that now, Betty Wright. And so, listen, we actually had a couple of people. We're talking about marriage and women's roles, couples and things like that, love and marriage and being single and people still trying to get a spouse, and women and men, because man was telling me that, you know, it's not just women. We still trying to find somebody too now. it's hard too to find a good woman. So I wanted us to tap in some of that. And I actually got a couple of letters. I don't know if Gina G has anything, but I know that I do. Can we jump in this real quick so we can get started with that? Betty Wright, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. So one of the callers from Oak Park, Chicago, she said, what do I do if my husband never tells me he loves me?
Well, you know, a lot of times it could even have to do with shyness. It's not always to be abusive or selfish or you know, even a memory thing. A lot of times men, and it's a complex thing because it is on an individual basis. Sometimes mm-hmm. men, especially men that try to work two jobs, you know, it's a complex thing. Now, if you feel like they're just being negative, meaning that trying to withhold something good from you, you know, the Bible says, withhold not good from him that it is due when it is in thine hand to do it. So mm-hmm. if get those kindnesses, those little, hey, you know, that song, I Forgot to Be Your Lover, I realize that you need love, too, and I spend my life making it up to you. I forgot Whoa. To be a lover. So you want to just every now and then remind yourself that it's not just always about him saying, I love you to you. Have you said it to him and stood there tapping your feet and say, you know, like to let him know, now I said it to you. Now the law of reciprocity ought to kick in. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you have to turn it almost into like role play. Like, hi, baby, I just wanted to tell you, in case you forgot, I love you. And most wow. of the time, if they're not trying to be like the big egotistical, you know, I rule this, I told you I love you 10 years ago. If I change my mind, I'll let you know, that kind of joke that, you know, resonates in our community.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have to not be so serious about it so that you can get a better result. Because sometimes it's the way you approach a thing. You know, you mm-hmm. can tell somebody the worst critique and get a positive result if you know how to do it tactfully. I've been reading, I guess, within the last 6 months, I keep seeing people say it's not about winning and losing. It's about winning and learning. And I never mm-hmm. think of loss. When I go on stage and I think, oh, man, you know, my show could have been a lot better, I think about what could I do to make it better. And I get excited about thinking about the next time when I go on stage. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to zig when the last time I zagged. You know, mm-hmm. when I do this, I'm going to stand up and do it instead of sitting down and do it. I'm already on to the next. You know, I call it clean sheet of paper thinking. I always think I got a clean sheet of paper, just a do-over. I ain't trying to erase nothing. I ain't trying to go, you know, till you scratch through the paper because you done made so many mistakes. You just keep,
yeah.
you know, scratching through it till it looks horrible. I just want yeah. a clean sheet of paper. I just start over.
So with that being said, with the woman's question and her, you saying that all of these different scenarios that could possibly be, and for her to be more understanding and try to, you know, just be patient.
Well,
with
evaluate herself,
some...
too. Evaluate yeah. herself, too, if he hasn't said it. And then try, and if she knows that she has been saying it, and then it hasn't been reciprocated, then that may be a deeper problem. Write him a letter. Write him a short note, not a book report. Just a short
letter. Yeah, because they don't like to read a lot.
A lot of men don't.
They don't. They might have a short attention span.
So let me
ask you this. Now, is it possible that we're reading the love language totally different? Maybe their way is showing love, like acting.
Well, that's what I said. Maybe he just came back from working two jobs. Maybe working two jobs is his way of showing you that he loves you. But I do say this. You do need to hear it. Flesh likes to be stroked. It likes to be told. You know, I had a store that I used to go in and grab a drink before going to a recording studio. So when I go in to get the bottle of water, there was this man outside, and I'm sure that he was asking for a dollar or asking for $5 or whatever, but he would always tell me I was beautiful. You so beautiful, queen. You so this, queen. And even though this man would be tore up drunk, you know flesh like to hear that? It likes to hear that you're beautiful. You don't get mad because the man said you were beautiful. You probably wish he was tall, dark, and handsome and a whole bunch of other things. But the fact that he said it, your flesh still got happy, you know? And sitting in a car one day, a gentleman with a little squeegee, spraying water on the windshield. Queen, fasten your seatbelt. I hate to see how you look if your head hit that windshield without that seatbelt on. Do you know every time I get in my car to hear his voice? That's been maybe 10, 15 years ago that happened. It still resonates. So what I think in this particular sister's case, because like I said, we want to do this on an individual basis because we know that there's no true and no false. There's always a little murky gray area. But just do this. If you're doing all the things you're supposed to do and if he ain't coming through, write him a little note. Just say, this is a checkup. This is like a doctor checkup. I just want to know, you know, am I the one? Am I still the one? And if I'm not, let me know.
Let me know so I can go. Gina G, do you have anything you want to say or you got anything?
Well, you know what I did? I had a question, and it was, this one is really, really, really crazy. This person is from Tampa, Florida, and they didn't want me to say their name, but because their question is about their in-laws, which I know oh so well, because my in-laws are coming from another country, and they come about once a year for 2 weeks, so for 2 weeks I am everything. But anyway, her question is it imperative or important to a man for the woman to get along with his mother? So that was my question.
My aunt, is that the full question or that's just part of it?
Yeah, that's a full question. That was
okay.
It.
No, because I mean, because sometimes they go on and say why.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this. I've been married 3 times. And the important thing is, and I've never divorced anyone, so that's an interesting scenario that we'll have. That'll be another day.
Well, you know, you can come back any day.
Yeah. That'll take another couple of sessions. But the one thing that I do remember is that even to this day, I am still friends. One of them, mother, well, two have deceased, but I am still friends with the mother-in-law. I still call her mom. I just believe that it has to do with would you like them, whether you were married to their son or married to their daughter or not.
Mm-hmm.
I just can get along with folks because I pretty much let people be who they are. You know, I always consider that your rights end where mine begin. I got all kind of nicknames. I like mother love and sister love, and I'm going to try to work it out. In the end, I'm going to try to explain to God why the devil should have an air conditioner. I got all kind of things people say about me that I'm a negotiator. But mainly, I really do love people. And I try to not dissect people, but I try to understand what makes them tick and what makes them click. And instead of jigging at a person and lighting the wrong fire up under them, I try to go to the part of them that I can salvage. You know, like you throw away everything that you don't particularly like and hold on to the things that you care about and you love and unite in that front. Just unite on that instead of talking about your differences. And you'll find that you can create even more aliveness. You know, I don't sit on the other side of the room when you come in people's house because that's your husband's people. I go sit in my mother-in-law's lap. Hey, girl, what you got for me? I know you got a gift. Let me look behind you. What you got for your daughter? You know, I make them go. I'm one of y'all. Now, don't try to put me to the back of the line.
Your husband wants you to get along with the family. It takes a lot of pressure that he don't need on him. You know, it's a lot of unnecessary pressure for him because he got enough to deal with. And to have to deal with who don't like who and who don't, you know, your mama's saying, it tears them apart. It divides them, and they don't like that. That's their mama, and, you know, just suck it up, and I say love on them anyway. Just love on them, because that's, if you love the husband, she brought him in this world, love the mama. It's just that simple. Love them because you're with her son. That's all.
Every now and then, I used to walk in the room and say, thank you. I said, what you saying thank you for? I said, thank you for your son. Thank you.
And that thank makes you. Them feel good. Like
you did a good job. I said, girl, you all right there, baby. You all right. See, you got to learn how to boost people up and not tear them down. And don't try to separate. Oh, he always on the phone talking to his mama. Let him talk to his mama. That's his mama.
Yeah. Like his mom.
Not, you know, and if she's not trying to build a wall between y'all, she might be building a bridge and tell him, when you finish talking to her, tell her I want to holler, tell her I want to say something. Then you could check her pulse, you know?
Yeah.
And if she's always in a run, don't want to talk to you on the phone, then you know you got to get a different kind
get
of ammunition.
Angle.
But like I said, I can get along with people because I'm not
anybody. Trying. Everybody should be.
I don't believe in that horoscope kind of thing where she a Leo. Oh God, she's sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do nothing with her. No, I can do something with anybody because if you're a child of God, if He created you and you ain't in a definite occult devil worship, we can talk. We can talk.
All right.
Well,
we got to move on because we got another question and we don't want to miss no time. Okay,
no
Gabby, she says she don't care. She want her name mentioned. Hey, Gabby from Little Rock, Arkansas. Come on now. Gabby, thank you for putting in your question to Miss Betty Wright. She's on here to answer your question. And she says, and hers a little lengthy, says her husband wants to have sex every day and anywhere in the house. And she says, I just had a baby 2.5 months ago, and I am tired. I take care of everything house-related, and I still keep up with work as much as possible before my return in a few more weeks. Help, please. Your girl is tired.
Okay. that's really an easy one. They want her in D.C. for the Clone Institute. They want her to bring her husband. I know that people have the opposite, you know, where their husband is always too tired or whatever. But definitely after a baby, men have got to be a little more compassionate because no two pregnancies are alike. And no two bodies are alike. And a lot of times when women are saying they're tired, it's actually mental and physical. And if you rush back into anything, because there's so many things that are intimate that don't have to do with sex. Even if you just lay his head in a lap and let her run her hands, massage his head and just put him to sleep or something, his bell that's ringing may not even always be sexual, but if that's the way he's used to satisfying it, then maybe that's, you know, like I said, it could be very mental with him that makes him think only physical. But she's got to be, you know, she's got to be a little more assertive in her, you know, letting him know, listen, buddy, the body needs a little rest. When I come back, I'm coming back like the Buffalo Soldier, but you got it right now. Understand?
Let's hold on. I think you can do some sexy talking to your husband to let them know. Listen, I it's not that I will never, because I think some men are afraid that it will never be right again. You know that it.
And
was,
I'm going to tell you something else that it is. Sometimes they're jealous of them little bitty babies. They're jealous
stop.
When they see you kiss on them. They're jealous
yes,
when they see
are,
you play
yes,
with their little feet. Oh,
men
my
are
goodness.
Jealous.
Oh,
yes,
my goodness. And you're
jealous.
Just pouring love. You're pouring the love into the baby. And a lot of times it's because of how you love the man. You look at that baby and you see that man in that baby. And you see you in that baby. And you see what you've done together. But these men got to stop being babies.
Yeah,
they're jealous of babies.
jealous of the relationship you have with your kids. So you just have to be careful, because I mean, even I know of some men that were jealous of even just the relationship that I had with my mother. So men still feel like they sense that. They sense that you giving somebody else in my mom, brother.
And always remember, it's easy to put that baby in your arms and still hug your man. You can still hug that baby. You got two arms.
You got to show him some love.
And if you don't have two arms, you got an eye you can wink and say, hey, fine, buddy. What's going on?
I know, that's right.
I say, you see this little mini-me of you over here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you won't give no kiss to this? I'm going to kiss this foot right now. You won't come sit by me? You know, you gotta turn it more into joy. It's like people, I don't know if they just love pain, but oh my goodness.
But it's so many broken people, Miss Betty. It's so many broken people getting together, and they're afraid that if they say too much, then they're going to get hurt. If they give a little too more than the other person and vice versa. You know, this is my thing, and we got to wrap it up with some information on you. I would just suggest that everybody just learn how to just love according to what makes you feel good. And whatever you do, do it just because you want it to. Like, I mean, not to anybody that's abusive to you, but if you want to love your man and want to love on your husband, do it because you want to. That's just how you are. Why suppress you being affectionate and you being loving, especially if they don't know how? What if they don't know how to do it like you?
A lot of them don't have a belief system. You know, they don't have a good belief system because they haven't been taught. They haven't seen it done. But that's where prayer comes in, and acting on faith and understanding. God is not a God of just feeling. He's a God of believing. Sometimes you've got to put it out there in the air. My marriage will work. My marriage will work because we're going to work on it. My marriage will work. It's not going to work on its own. It's going to take some work. But you gotta put that time in. And that's something you can't get back. A lot of people are working 2 and 3 jobs and always talking about stuff. But baby, let me tell you something. I'm trying to get rid of stuff. I've been traveling all these years and got more stuff than anybody. I know I got stuff. My stuff's got stuff. But when I
get ready to get rid of stuff.
I just want to travel. I want to go all over the world and not have to worry about who in my car. Well, who is doing this? Who's sitting on my couch? You know, don't buy no couch that you don't want nobody to sit on.
That's right.
Got plastic on your couch because you don't want nobody to sit on.
Come on.
Well, Miss Betty Wright, the legendary Miss Betty Wright, songwriter, singer, producer, everything, and then
everything.
And a family member, our auntie, our sister, our mama, everybody. Everybody over here to us and to you too. Now that you done heard, if you have never heard her speak, you need to go on and Google her, Betty Wright with a WWRIGHT, and look her up if you don't know, because we worldwide.
If you don't know, you're crazy.
Yeah, you
just don't put it out there. If you don't know Betty Wright, then where have you been?
Yeah, where have you been? Because everything, no pain, no gain. Well, I'm saying the whole thing.
Yeah,
no pain,
get
no
from
pain,
under that
no
rock,
gain. But it's really called No Pain. And so many other legendary songs that she has sang, honey. Google her right
tonight
now.
Tonight
is it to make you move. Come on now, don't hurt. Come on now. That's why she gets that big those tour dates all over the world. That's why she's been getting them checks.
You said you be gentle with me.
She be getting it. She be getting it. Because I'm telling you, she stay on tour. Anyway, tell everybody where they can follow you on social media. Do you have your social media stuff?
Right. Let's see. I mean, to the best of my ability. I think on Instagram, it's The Real Betty Wright. And that's right with a W. And then on Facebook, I am Ms. B. That's M, capital M with a small S, B-E-E. Right.
All right. Like I said.
Yeah, and definitely, if I don't get back to you in 7 days, then I am out of the country, and then we'll get back to you. And that's not because I can't see it. It's because I can't get to it. Those
I got you. Well, you know you're going to
really
come back.
Busy.
You got to come back on because we women and men need this wisdom. We need to sit at the feet of someone that has been there, done that, that sang about it, wrote about it. God has given you some insight, some revelation, but you showed and sang it and wrote it and sang it. And we just don't get that anymore. You know, we got a lot of bitter women out here and resentful men out here, and we need a voice of reason to speak into our hearts and our minds and our souls on how we can humble ourselves and submit so we can be more, you know, have more healthy, happy relationships instead of us competing against each other and who
said
what.
Tell the men write letters too. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Men, write a letter. Write a letter.
Yeah,
don't let the women just write all of this.
Even if it's only two sentences. Well, listen,
even if we beat you up when you write it, we just write it anyway.
Well, we're going to have you back on closer to where, you know, around Valentine's Day. I know you're going to be on the road.
Alrighty.
We'll check your schedule and see if we can make that happen so we can talk to some single people because they sure don't need words of encouragement. They get really depressed around that time. So we're going to need you to
come in.
Well,
I'm going to try to let you know when I think the Unsung that we did is coming up shortly. So I'll try to get in touch with you so you can tell your
oh, no. Yeah, you got to come on and talk about that. Yeah, you got to come on and talk about that. Well, keep me posted about that. You got my number and text me and let me know what that date is and we can book you in so we can just make that announcement and you can give a little snippet about it a little bit. And we can go ahead and get that out there. Well, we love you.
All right.
Yes,
we love you,
we
too.
Do.
So y'all know we had three Ginas on the line today. Because I told you my middle name is Regina.
It's Regina.
So you got Gina, Gina, Gina.
Hey, look at that, look at that, look at that. Yeah.
All right, y'all have a blessed day.
All right,
have a blessed
too.
Day,
we love
everybody.
You.
Okay. Love you too.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Oh my
all
God.
Right. This was good. This was good.
I'm happy dancing. I'm happy dancing.
Okay, listen. We got to go because Elizabeth Brooks is waiting to give us this. We need this. Come on, Elizabeth. Come on and join us.
Come on, girl.
Come on.
How you guys doing? Happy summer, everybody.
Happy summer.
We are right in the heat of it. It is August and I am going to talk about our being outside in August, you guys. You know, it doesn't matter the time of year. You should be moving regularly, okay? So, I wanted to talk about hiking today. Now, I know a lot of people like hiking. It's hot.
Yes.
But this is the best time of year to get outside, you guys. Okay, let me tell you what gave me this idea. I went over, of course, I'm in D.C. I went over to Kenilworth Aquatic Gardens, and during the summer, this is the only time you can see it. They have their lotus and lily. It's just an explosion of lotus flowers. Now, lotus flowers have a big, you know, spiritual significance to a lot of people, but they're just beautiful, you guys, and you can only see it in the summer. So there are some hikes and some walks you can take in the summer that you can't take any other time of year to see the kinds of things that you can see during the summer. And lotus flowers don't bloom in the fall and the winter, everybody. So if you're in the D.C. area and you have not taken a hike through Kenilworth Aquatic Gardens in a while, I really recommend it. It's really off the beaten track, and you should go. But for those of you all across the country, and when I'm talking about hiking, remember there's a difference between hiking and walking, okay? Walking is what we do on the street, okay? Hiking is what we do. We need hiking boots, okay? You need shoes for this, okay? You need to put on sun gear. You need to wear appropriate clothing when you go hiking. And really what distinguishes hiking from walking is really that you're on trail, okay, when you're hiking. And so just be mindful of a few things when you're hiking. Number one, always remember to hike, never to hike alone. You always want to hike with a partner. Normally, because you're in the woods and if something happens to you, you want to have someone who you can rely on, who is there with you to help to help you get out of it. Number two, always wear your hiking shoes. Hiking shoes help support your ankles, and there's a lot of rocks and rough terrain, uneven terrain when you're hiking, and so you want to make sure that you're wearing appropriate shoes to protect those ankles. Number three, make sure you wear insect repellent. You're out in the woods, people. You're going to have to do that, even more so than when you're in the city. Okay, wear insect repellent, wear long sleeves, and don't forget to check for ticks, okay? Before you get back in your car, just make sure your partner, everybody brush each other off, you know, make sure you don't have any hanger-ons when you're getting in the car. Hiking is excellent cardiovascular exercise, everybody. And remember, cardiovascular exercise is exercise we do 20 minutes or longer to build our heart and lung muscle. It's to help build endurance. So if you are a regular walker, the way that you improve the intensity of those walks is you take a hike sometimes. Hiking trails are much more challenging than regular, you know, sidewalk, street walking. You can really, really burn a lot of calories when you're walking. And this is something that we're, hiking. And this is something that we're always talking about, of course, to help maintain body weight and keep ourselves lean. You can burn, if you hike for an hour, you can burn between 500 and 800 calories, you guys. So this is nothing to play with. And don't forget, when you go hiking, take a snack with you, okay, if you're going to walk. And always, of course, take plenty of water. Remember, everybody, the minimum amount of water that you should be drinking every day is 64 ounces, okay? So that's eight ounce glasses of water. If you're not getting that in, you are definitely dehydrated, and you're losing out on the benefits of staying hydrated. That good skin, good cardiovascular endurance, all that stuff is dependent on hydration. Hydration is the most important component of your nutrition, okay? Your body doesn't function well when it is dehydrated. You're losing out on a lot of benefits. So, hey, you guys, get out there. Go on some of these summer hikes. You know, check out the Shenandoah. Go over to Kenilworth Aquatic Gardens and see the lotus flowers. Get outside because it's going to be cold soon. And we have about, Labor Day is like 4 weeks away. And people are getting out of the city. People are hanging around in the city. And just enjoying it. And just enjoy yourself. Stay safe. You know, wear something on that head to protect yourself. And just get out because, you know, this doesn't last for long.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you that I have done. That's good stuff. And I know she's talking about in D.C., you guys, but you got trails everywhere in every state. And I know in other countries y'all got stuff. But I took my son on a hike up to the Hollywood sign. And that was up, going up, 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 and it wasn't, and it still, it works your whole body, honestly, your legs, your body parts that you don't normally work on, like your ankles and your
core
muscles.
Amazing.
Everything, every part of your legs are working, and it's very important that you do take water, because even if it's not hot, that sun is going to be on you no matter what, unless you're like in a lot of shaded area, but like going up that trail was just sun on you.
And you will be affected by the humidity, too. So you want to make sure that water is pretty
good. It was really, really good. Gina, haven't you
Oh, my God, that sounds like good bonding time for you guys.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Have you gone trailing before, Gina?
I have gone trailing before. Yes, I have. I actually have done the hills in Hollywood. I grew up there. I did that so many times. They used to have sand dunes where it was like hills with sand. I love those type of walks. Definitely,
it's
always
fun.
Water. Yeah, I always had
it's
water.
It's so much fun, and it's so different.
Yeah, so you have a good time doing that. You don't feel like you're really working out, you know?
Yeah, no. And a lot of people go up there just to get some peace of mind to go away. And I've seen some people walk by themselves. Some of them take their dogs and stuff. I mean, if you got a busy trail, there's a lot of people in there, you should be okay. But if it's quiet, I wouldn't go out there by yourself. No, never, not ever.
Always be careful.
Elizabeth, tell everybody where they can follow you. Always giving us good stuff, girl.
All right. Well, you all remember, fitness begins with correct thinking. Stay fit this summer. If you have a question, you want to reach out to me, my email address is ebrooks@thinkingcorrectly.com, and my website is www.thinkingcorrectly.com. safe it out there, you guys.
All right. We love you, girl. Until next
yes,
time.
We do.
I'll see you
all right.
Soon.
Love you.
All right.
Take care.
Oh,
bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Yes. Now, listen. Gina G with the Trinity. We're going to take a commercial break, and then you've got to break it down. You got to break it down. What's going on in, around town? We'll be right back after these messages.
The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus tells Peter that he's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we could do the same thing. The keys against the enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things is going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy.
Love drive your leadership. God does. In his new book, Love Leads, Dr. Steve Green teaches you how to love as a leader. Love Leads is now available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Get your copy today to make the difference you've been praying for.
And now you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Hi. This is your girl, Betty Wright, and you just get ready for Miss Gina's Radio Chat.
It's Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Hi, this is your girl, Betty Wright, and you know what I'm doing? On Tonight is the Night Like Betty Wright, I'm hanging out with Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. That's right, best in town. You know that, best all around. That's right. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. You heard me.
Oh, my God. I cannot with Miss Betty Wright. Do you understand
yes,
me?
Yes, she gets it. Girl, she is something, honey. Yes, tell us the tea, girl. Gina G with the Trinity.
All right,
Gina
really
G
quick.
With the Trinity. Gina G hey. With the Trinity. I say, what do you think? You got the Trinity. Okay.
Yes, I do, and we don't have a lot of time, but I do. Okay, I want to start off, first of all, if you guys don't know, I don't know where you've been, but Cynthia Brown was released from Tennessee prison today at 3 o'clock a.m. after serving 15 years. She was a child. She was 15 years old when she went into jail. She served 15 years of a life sentence. For, you know, killing the man that actually, you know, sexually abused her, made her work, prostitute. I mean, it's just a whole list. I need you guys to Google her. But I want to let you know I'm getting a T-shirt made. That baby is home. I am so excited for her. That's about the happiest. That's about the happiest news that I got for y'all today. That's the happiest tea that I'm. So hold on to that feeling. But in the past week. Yeah, they're going to have to hold on to that because it's about to get it's getting deep now. But for the past week, you guys, over here in America, if you've been under a rock, I'm going to need you to get from up under it and pay attention. We've had two violent mass shootings within the past week, 31 people on a total dead. We have 9 in Dayton, Ohio, where a young gentleman went on a shooting spree, killing his own sister and her boyfriend in Dayton, Ohio. It's just a sad tragedy, and we also had 2 people passed in the hospital in El Paso of a mass shooting of a young man who went inside of Walmart, people. Listen to me, Walmart, and killed 22 people. Well, 20 people, but 22 of them died, you know, from the injuries at the hospital. There was a couple who had their two-month-old baby. They were shopping for school supplies because, of course, here in America, back to school is between, you know, now and September. There's a young couple. I think they were 22 and 26. They shielded their two-month-old baby from the bullets from the shooter.
And the mother shielded her child, and then the father shielded, of course, his wife and his child. Both the parents are deceased. The two-month-year-old did survive. But listen to me, people. In America, I just need everybody to pray for America, because our president, the man that is in charge, has really started this race war. They're calling these acts of violence domestic terrorism. It's not no one from Al-Qaeda. It's no one of that nature coming in our country and killing us. It is ourselves. Trump is not taking, stand to his own bigotry, his own racism. The go back where you came from comment, calling to Spanish people, that they're invading, they're rats and rodents and invading America. When El Paso is on the border of Mexico, do you guys understand? El Paso, Texas is on the border of Mexico. And where this shooting took place is one of the safest places in America. So I just need people to really open their eyes. It has nothing to do with where you're from. This country, America, has been built on everyone but one race. It's been built by everyone. So it just amazes me to hear a president, a ruler of the nation, who's supposed to be bringing togetherness of his country. He's bringing so much division, from the police officers killing innocent black people, from them wrestling them down. But this shooter, mass shooter in El Paso, Texas, a young white male, was just, I think, just standing there with one officer talking with handcuffs on. When just 2 weeks ago, there was a young fella outside of the park selling water, okay? Because it was a heat wave. He was selling water for $1, and the police almost choked him to death. So, and that was he was selling water, not shooting up 20 people inside.
And this one can come on in the police station and talk about it, have a conversation.
Oh, yeah. They walked him right in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Walk him right in. It baffles my mind, but that's the American way. And we're going to have to put an end to it if we don't start within our own homes first and let go of this hatred for one another, because if you cut us open and you shoot us up, red is the only thing coming from our bodies. There's nothing makes us different. Nothing makes us, we're human. There's one race, and it's the human race. And until we understand that and get a president off of the TV that is using his platform for hatred and bigotry and white supremacy, racism's never going to end. But I hope that it gets to a point that we're not shooting and killing people because of the color of their skin or because of where they came from. We're going to talk about folks driving crazy. We're going to talk about folks now in Walmart dressed crazy with we know black folks going Walmart with the headscarf on and 4-5 babies on there. I mean, we understand all of those things. We understand that we late CP time, whatever. But none of that will make me shoot up a community because of their race, creed, or color. It is just impossible. So I'm asking everybody today to continue to pray for America. I mean, we've had 126 mass shootings this year, Gina. This year, if you look at other countries, they've had one. In the year, we've had 126. We have more guns than any other country. We have the only right to be a regular person and can walk into a gun show and buy an AK-47, the same weapon that they're using over to fight in Iraq. There's no way that I should be able to go buy the same weapon as a trained a military person. It is just insane to me. So we got to work on gun laws, Dr. Gina. We have to work on this whole quote-unquote mental illness, because, of course, this is what they're saying is the problem. But I'm telling you right now, I know a whole bunch of mental illness folks, and they ain't shooting up no damn Walmart. Come on now. Walmart, I go in there a lot.
And there's people out here, you can't use mental illness, because now you want to use that, the reason why these people are doing the things they're doing. But you have people that are really mentally ill, and they have no thoughts of killing or harming anyone. So we're not going to blame this on mental illness. We're going to blame this on a president who is bringing hatred back forefront, because Obama united this country, not divided it.
Yes, so, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you gave us that tea. And you guys, that's why it's so important for us to vote. You got to go out and vote. Yeah. Go ahead and follow you on where? Instagram where?
You know where y'all can follow me. Now, come on, folks, because y'all doing a good job. Follow me at GinaG2Funny, Gina G the number 2Funny, on all social media sites, even Twitter. I am back on Twitter. And you can follow me on Facebook, Gina G T O O Funny.
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Gina R. Prince. You know how to do it. Y'all doing good with that, too. Yeah. Dr. Gina's radio chat. I see y'all on coming on there. Twitter, I'm okay, but you can go on Gina R. Prince to follow me. I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying. Between writing and all of that, it's a lot, but I'm trying. But listen, we love you here. Live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. We are loving you here always on Dr. Gina's radio chat every Wednesday live. You never know who's going to be joining us live right here on Dr. Gina's radio chat. Two Ginas. Gina G.
Yes.
And today we had, and then we had Betty Regina Wright joining us. Three Ginas. All right, y'all. You never, we don't get that at. Keep listening, keep tuning in, keep making us one of the number one internet radio talk shows in the world. We love you so much. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.